Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves. You're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit ncl.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry the Bahamas and USA.
Here, Bert Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
Some may say, after hearing this song, that this is shocking news because Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You has been dethroned by an immature and a professional, though they don't sound like it. And All I Want for Christmas Is You is always at the top of the charts this holiday season, but not today. So here's All I Want for Christmas Is You, the classic. And currently on the iTunes 100 Holiday Chart, Maybe This Christmas by Jason Kelce and Stevie Nicks.
Maybe this Christmas will mean something more. Maybe this year love will appear deeper than ever before.
Is at the top of the charts.
So did I miss it earlier? So this is Jason Kelce?
Jason Kelce.
Okay. I had Travis in my head for some reason the whole time.
We know the origin story of how the two even met, how they decided to be in a studio together?
So Stevie Nicks is a close friend of Taylor Swift. So she's been a mentor to her in her career for the past, 10 or 15 years. And so I can only imagine that when the Eagles do that annual holiday album, that somehow Stevie Nicks was like, sure, I'll be on the album. Probably because Taylor turned it down.
Because it's called A Philly Special Christmas.
Okay. Yeah. Right, what I would really like to see, the statistics on this, and I know that you can get them, is how many people, it's downloaded a lot, right? So it's number one downloaded holiday song right now. Mm-hmm. But how many of those people listen to the entire song?
Oh, you want to see like where they drop off?
Yes.
Probably about where we dropped off.
I agree.
After Maybe This Christmas.
And then we'll need something more. We sure do.
We do. Next album. So that right now is at the top of the charts, but believe it or not, it is not the most surprising song to take over the holiday charts during this season. So I'm going to play you some not surprising and some surprising songs that have hit number one during the season. So the fifth top ranking holiday song to reach number one, not surprising, Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree, Brenda Lee.
Rockin' around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop.
To be expected. In the fourth spot was Justin Bieber, Mistletoe.
I'm at the end of the mistletoe.
With you. Shout it with you.
I miss
shout it with you.
This music from
shout it with you. Shout it with you.
He really ate with that one. They were in the studio that day. They're like, yes.
Nailed it.
In the third spot, not a surprising song at Christmas Eve, Sarajevo 1224.
When I hear this, I think of the Office episode.
I don't remember which one, this one.
So in the top spot, of course, it's All I Want for Christmas Is You. But in the number two seed, right below Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You, it's not even a Christmas song. Do you have any guesses? I guess you could convince yourself it's a Christmas song, but it is from a Disney Pixar film.
It's not
Frozen?
But
something from Frozen?
It's from Frozen.
Let It Go?
It's not Let It Go.
Oh, do you want to build a snowman?
Do you want to build a snowman?
Whoa.
Come on, let's go and play. I never see you anymore.
It's in the number two seed, and it's not even a Christmas song.
This is an outrage.
This is an outrage. We need Jason Kelce to do a cover and beat it.
No, we don't. Said nobody ever.
Said me once at 8:14.
I actually think Jason Kelce and Kristen Bell doing a cover of Do You Want to Build a Snowman would be epic.
Yeah, you're on an island by yourself.
Yeah, epic?
Yes. Epic can be taken a many away.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep, it'd be something.
It would be epic for the children. I think everybody else would just kind of be like, that's nice, and then move on. But anyway, there's a new font that's inspired by our favorite billionaire, Elon Musk.
Did you say font?
Font. Mm-hmm. A new font, a new text font. So if, you know, Times New Roman is getting a little too boring for you, if Comic Sans is a little too frivolous for you, why not download the new font using Elon Musk called Times New Dumbass? So basically, somebody decided to create a font using a photo of Elon Musk, where I guess in public settings, sometimes he'll do a big X to, you know, draw attention to the fact that he owns Twitter, now known as X. And so they bent him into different positions to make it look like different letters. So it's Elon making an A, kind of like the YMCA. Oh, Elon making a B, Elon making a C. And you can now download it on your computer at Times New Dumbass.
Also, you just triggered an ick for me. If a guy uses Comic Sans, that is an ick.
Or Papyrus.
Really? Oh, that is an ick.
God, Papyrus.
Papyrus.
AKA Avatar.
Or Impact.
I like Impact.
I use Impact.
Oh.
I'm with you. I like that one.
I liked Impact.
Yeah. Oh. Oh. It's a little chuggy.
we need to start a GoFundMe.
I gotta get my font game up.
Use Arial and Helvetica like an adult.
Okay. Use Times New Dumbass.
The Burt Show.
We talked about doom scrolling yesterday. Today we're going to follow it up. You don't really know how bad it actually is for your health, but Rebecca will tell you here in just one second. But first, Rebecca, it is time for you to celebrate.
She was at her lowest. Her career was in shambles. People thought her 15 minutes of fame was over, but now the pop girlies are quaking because Mudang is officially a signed recording artist.
A hippo?
The Thai pygmy hippo who captured hearts internationally because she is bouncy, sassy, and wet.
Who's not looking for that?
Abby, is that what you have in your Hinge profile?
That's what my dating.
You change it to that, you'll get a lot more swipes.
Turn it up.
Has anybody created a Tinder profile for Mudang and put that in there?
Oh,
you need
great.
To create a Mudang Tinder profile today. I swear to God.
Let's set a new location and see who can get more swipes, Mudang or Abby.
Oh my God. It is on today.
You guys are just kicking me while I'm down.
Well, she's been officially signed by the Thai entertainment company GMM and has released a song in Thai, English, Chinese, and Japanese. She's international. And I have a sample of this song here.
Okay. It is better than the Jason Kelce, Stevie Nicks song.
Uh-huh.
It is better than the Dave Portnoy song.
Country Diddy.
And it's better than the Mark Zuckerberg song.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that we heard this morning.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't bad.
If it comes on in the club, watch out.
Yeah, it's still absolute garbage, which I think means the gays will love it because they eat that up. It'll be on some like playlist on Spotify.
All right, now that they have licensed Mudang's likeness, all right, I want to know, does Mudang get a cut of the profits here? Mm. Like, does the zoo that she's in, are they going to get some profits from this?
I assume that, yeah, like a cut of the sure. proceeds must go to either her and her mother, since she is a minor.
And then they can, and they can spend it on some Ozempic.
They can get more hose.
or another plastic pool for her to swim in.
Aww. So much vegetation.
All right, watching that or watching Mudang will take you out of your doom scroll, which Rebecca is here to tell you is really super unhealthy.
Absolutely.
I think we all know that, though.
Right. Yeah. Quick survey for everyone. When you first wake up in the morning, do you immediately reach for your phone?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No.
No.
Wow.
Do you get?
I mean, to turn off my alarm and see if I got a text, but otherwise I don't open social.
You don't start scrolling immediately?
Mm-hmm. No.
Well, half of you are mentally ill. Half of you are not yet in danger.
Okay. Hey, Abby, here's to the mentally ill.
Woo! You're assuming it's you guys.
It was Harvard Medical School who recently published a report claiming that scanning headlines on social media is an insidious threat to your mental well-being called doom scrolling. And you guys talked about it yesterday. Mm-hmm. Cassie, you've mentioned that you've considered quitting social media for good because of what you see on there.
Yeah, it's just an influx of negativity. And don't get it twisted. I'm not talking about ignoring everything going on in the world. It's just the salacious headlines are meant to make you click things. And so things is all, it's always, it's doom. It's all doom and gloom, and it's too much.
And it's the way it's reported also with the obvious slant, you know?
There's no bias out there. What are you talking about? Right.
Probably a good idea to quit, but unfortunately, some of us can't quit social media, like me, for example, because of job.
It's in your title.
No, that is an excuse. That is an excuse. You don't need to be doom scrolling first thing in the morning for this job.
We need TikTok trends.
Yeah.
First thing in the morning, as soon as you wake up.
What if there's big headline news that comes out overnight? Well, that's why I do it.
Well, you get that. I mean, I get it from the services, or you go to different websites for that. But I don't sit there for an hour and doom scroll right off the bat to find out what we should be talking about on the show.
Oh, I don't do it for that long either because I wake up too late because I don't give myself enough time to get ready and get here. Right. So I do it for like, I do it for 5 minutes just to see if there's anything like pertinent that I need to be aware of.
Well, I do it all day. And
you're dedicated to your job.
I am. Dr. Aditi Narukar of Harvard Medical School thinks it's not going well for me because our brains and bodies are expertly designed to handle short bursts of stress. But over the past several years, the stress just doesn't seem to end. This constant consumption of distressing information leads to both mental and physical effects.
I feel it. Like, I feel it, like, as far as not just nationally, but universally, that we are now inundated, thanks to the internet and now social media, with so much news and a lot of it being bad because that's the clickbait stuff and that's the stuff that sells, that I feel like everybody's pinging. Like everywhere you go, everybody's just pinging and we're one little nudge from just falling off the cliff.
That's so funny you say that because there's now a new condition called popcorn brain, which is a biological phenomenon where it literally feels like your brain is popping because you are so overstimulated by what you're seeing online. Mm. And my brain has been microwaved.
is it burnt?
It's a little smoky. The cure to this, unfortunately, is logging off and engaging with the real world. And that sucks because I'm addicted to social media. Mm-hmm. I come home from working on my big screen to relax and enjoy my me time on my little screen. But because of this crippling social media addiction, I feel I have the expertise to give the people real alternatives on what to do when you need to stop doom scrolling, but you want to get that same hit of dopamine you might receive from something like reading a tweet where someone observes that Elon Musk looks like a crash test dummy that wished upon a star to become a real boy. What's better than that?
Are you going to tell everybody to get their sourdough starter going again so we can start baking bread?
God, no.
Whipped coffee.
So here's a brief list of what I found is similar to those dopamine hits you get online.
Okay.
Right. Number one, sex.
Oh, yeah.
If I remember correctly.
It's still fun.
Yeah. I've heard it's fun. It releases good endorphins. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that's not really an option for some of the involuntarily celibate people like me and Abby. If that's not an option for you, go look at your dog or look at your cat. Literally just look at them and acknowledge your their presence.
I noticed you didn't say kid because that'll...
some days good, some days bad.
Sometimes that's not a dopamine hit. Sometimes it's a cortisol hit.
Could be an option.
Yeah.
Close your laptop, put on some headphones, take a long walk, and listen to a podcast. I actually have a great one to recommend. It's called The Burt Show. If you're listening to this on The Burt Show podcast, then you're from the future, and I need you to listen to me closely. Take out your phone, DM me the winning Mega Millions numbers. I'm talking to you specifically. All right, when all else fails, there's one thing you need to buy. Do you guys know what this is?
A box.
It is a little box.
What's in a box?
Is it that little knitting thing?
Okay, this is a blind box, and I am obsessed with these. They are little collectible toys from either Japan or Korea. They are mysteries, and on the sides, they have a bunch of little characters that you can find within the box. The theme of this box is potatoes in the bathroom. Here's what you need to do.
What?
Look at the side of the box. This is potatoes in the bathroom. I could get potato drying hair, potato brushing teeth, potato shaving, or tater on the toilet.
Tater on the toilet. Ooh, wait. Oh, is it tater on the toilet?
Make a wish.
Give me tater on the toilet.
Tater on the toilet. Tater on the toilet. Give me tater on the toilet.
What is it?
All right, here we go. Who is it?
Oh, wait, we're cutting open the package.
I got to cut it open.
These are the kind of events that happen to me when I'm on Delta 8.
Come on.
And I didn't take anything this morning.
All right, come on, tater on the
tater
toilet.
Toilet.
Come on, tater on the toilet. It's potato... blow drying her hair.
Oh.
I'm disappointed. It's just like the internet.
I like that your solution to not scrolling through capitalism on TikTok is to participate in real world capitalism instead.
Always be a consumer.
I was reading the other day that now officially Americans are spending 1/4 of their day consuming content. So
that's
online,
sad.
Social media, watching a TV show, whatever. 1/4. Now that doesn't even include the 8 hours that you are sleeping.
We're not really living, are we?
Not at all. Not really living. But thanks for listening to The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now. Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you. They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
People magazine might have it a little bit twisted. Their sexiest man alive this year is John Krasinski. You might love that pick. You might hate that pick. But if you're going to change the game a little bit, and you are going to put together the perfect sexiest celebrity based on different body parts from different celebrities, who would make the list?
When you choose a sexiest man alive, it's just a normal reaction that some people aren't going to be happy with the pick. You cannot please everybody with one person because one person is not going to be everybody's quote unquote type for sexiest man alive until I decided to go into my laboratory and create my own Frankenstein of a man on Google Slides, where I take the best parts of some of the sexiest men alive and create the perfect sexiest man.
Okay.
So I have submitted to you via email a slideshow where I'm going to reveal body part by body part who the sexiest man
you actually did a presentation.
Slideshow. Just for clarification, you would take like a left leg from Timothée Chalamet. And you would take maybe a right leg. I don't know. I'm just pulling these out of my booty. From
Mike Tyson.
Okay. Sure, but that's what you're looking at.
Different
parts, different celebrities.
I figured I would try and keep, you know, some of the certain areas similar. So I'm going to take the legs from one celebrity so we don't have any height discrepancies. But I did take legs from one celebrity, chest and arms from another, hair from another, eyes from another, and cheekbones and jawline from another.
Your presentation, like, it's literally like a slideshow presentation, and she has cut out the different body parts. It's like we're looking at a magazine, like back in the day where you used to cut things out of magazines.
Yeah.
She has literally cut out these body parts and pasted them onto the sheet, and we are going to add body part as she goes.
Thank you, University of Florida, for my degree in Photoshop. It came in handy today. Okay. So let's open our slideshows up to slide numero uno, because this is where we are going to remind the lads listening to not skip leg day,
right?
Because the women have been paying very close attention to one celebrity over the past year for their slutty shorts and their sexy upper thighs. And of course, we are picking the legs from none other than Ireland's own Paul Mescal.
Ah, okay.
Paul Mescal is known for his slutty shorts.
I thought you were going to go with the dude that's in Bridgerton and Wicked. Because he's been wearing...
Jonathan Bailey!
Yes.
I love Jonathan Bailey.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, but Paul Mescal's thighs are more famous than his.
I feel like, because he grew up in Ireland, I am guessing that these legs were made on a football pitch somewhere.
A rugby pitch, if you will. Yeah, Gaelic rugby or Gaelic football. Isn't His thighs have been carved by the Irish leprechaun.
They need some sun, though.
It looks like you've done it from waist down, though, so you're not only getting the legs, if you know what I'm saying.
Is that what you're saying?
He does have BDE.
Yeah, he's getting the third leg, too.
I have not seen that one yet, but I'm assuming it's pretty good.
Ooh.
Okay.
Who's giving you the chest and arms, Abby?
Okay, when I think of somebody with the perfect chest, with the perfect broad shoulders, with arms you could just grab, with arms that you want wrapped around you, I'm thinking of none other than Michael B. Jordan.
Look at that. Yeah.
This is a chest I would like to stare at every day.
He's got those little striation things, which are like the muscles within the muscles.
Oh, yeah. And he's always like sweaty and oiled up. And I feel like he's pictured a lot shirtless. So this is a man comfortable showing off this part of his body. And I like a confident man. So he gets my award for best chest and arms.
I approve.
Okay, number three.
She is Kristen Klinger and she approves this message.
She approves this message.
I approve those abs.
All right, the third slide here goes to hair, because for me, I think the sexiest part of a man is his hair. I know I talk a lot about height. Uh-huh. I know I give a lot of awards to guys who are super tall, but honestly, hot take, I would rather have a short man with good hair than a tall, bald guy. So I had to choose a man with really good hair. And of course, I decided to let that go to John Krasinski.
Really? I thought that was going to be Harry Styles.
I thought
about Harry Styles too, but I feel like longevity is important when it comes to hair. You want to choose a man who's going to keep his hair throughout the course of his life. He can't peak in 2013 and then let it dwindle.
And Harry, we're not sure about. He's still a young lad.
Harry, we kind of know where it's going and it doesn't look good. Whereas John Krasinski, a man in his 40s, has retained that, maybe naturally, maybe not, for decades.
It's thick.
So I decided to choose the long route, the long game, and keep a man who's kept the locks around for a while.
Or maybe he's visited Turkey once or twice.
You know what? And I respect that. You got to do what you got to do, and it's looking good for
him. What does that mean?
That's where everybody flies to get their hair transplants.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Huh? Mm-hmm. Okay. And it looks good. Whatever he got done, it looks amazing. All right, the fourth slide goes to eyes, and you may have to zoom in to get a closer look at to who these eyes belong to. But to me, when I think of a celebrity with the most piercing, striking blue eyes that stick in your mind after seeing him in a film, it of course had to go to Michael Ealy. When you think of an author writing the words piercing eyes, to me, my mind immediately goes to his eyes. They are so striking and just jump out at you on the screen that I felt like the perfect man had to have Michael Ealy's eyes.
Right, that's hard to argue with.
Absolutely.
Now, last but not least, this was difficult, because when you choose somebody's jawline and cheekbones, you're pretty much choosing the rest of their face too. So I had to pick somebody that I felt like had to go with the rest of like the hair and the eyes. And I felt like there was really only one person who could pull off these features and would be a smash success in this studio. So of course I picked Superman himself, Henry Cavill.
Oh, good call.
Henry Cavill.
Good
so
call.
That's what, a wild looking man put together right
there. Right?
Individually looks great. When you see it all as one, it's a misfit toy.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
if Frankenstein looked anything like this, Frankenstein would have been a romantic erotica novel. So.
I'd hit that.
I would hit
yes,
that twice.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
It was a confusing time for some of the whites in here yesterday. Katie, you want to take it from here?
Yeah, yesterday I was just talking about a situation that my friend's in that I don't think she should be in, and I said the phrase, a hard head will make a soft behind. And Abby looked at me like I was crazy.
I had never heard that.
I was like, what do you mean her behind is soft? How do you know?
And that's just a saying that's in a black household. If you're going to be hard-headed, you're just going to face the consequences later, basically.
I had never heard of that. Abby had never heard of that. Had you heard of that?
I knew what it meant, but I hadn't, like,
You know, the definition. So the whites were aligned yesterday. So I asked these guys, I'm like, I love these cultural differences. So are there other cliches and phrases in the black community that the whites might not know?
And I think there's probably a few. So Mo and I think we put together a list that, yeah, we're going to see you guys know some things. Okay. All right.
All right. We just shooting them off one by one.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
All right, cool. One that I heard often, and I think a lot of black kids did, was fix your face before I fix it for you.
Yes. All right, that one makes some sense,
yeah,
right?
100%.
I think I have heard that one.
That's okay. One of my favorite lines in the Bruno Mars song. You go, fix your face.
All right, a hit dog will holler.
No.
Oh. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Cassie knows.
What's
that
I've mean? Heard that one. I don't know what it means, but I've heard it.
Never know.
It basically means if you're sitting there trying to defend yourself or come up with a reason, you're probably guilty.
Oh, mm-hmm. So you get like too defensive.
Mm-hmm.
Hey. So a hit dog will holler.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
There's I'm blank. Nice to meet you, which usually was a response when you would tell your parents that you were hungry. So, for example, I would say I'm hungry. My mother would say I'm done. Nice to meet you.
I did this to my kid last night.
You did? You did? Serious?
I'm still hungry. Hey, hungry. I'm mama. Nice to meet you.
Did they think that was hilarious?
No, because I'm trying to teach them to use their words to ask for what they want instead of just saying how they feel.
Gotcha.
All right.
Feelings are so overrated.
No, we concentrate on feelings, but feelings don't tell people what you want.
Agreed.
All right. Don't let your mouth cash a check that you're behind. Cashing.
Uh-huh. I've heard that one.
I think one of the more popular ones is.
Wait, did you get that one?
No, it's still processing. Yes. Continue.
You don't get that one?
No. What, don't let your mouth
write a check that your behind can't cash.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to talk the talk, you better walk the walk. Otherwise, you're going to get your ass beat.
Don't say anything you're not willing to suffer the consequences for saying.
Mm-hmm. No. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Here we go. One of the more popular ones, because we were not supposed to be talking apparently when we were kids, was children should be seen and not heard.
Yeah, that's universal. I think that's every culture.
Okay.
Every culture knows that one.
I love that one. Keep them kids away from me. Said the happy childless woman in the corner.
Now, this is a phrase my aunt would say all the time. If it was a snake, it would have got me.
When you can't find something and you're like, I don't know where it is. And then they come and they pick it out for you and they hand it to you. And it's always, if it was a snake, it would have
been. Okay.
So,
right.
Which I know what this means. If you hear, it's either going to be in and out, but it's not going to be both.
Oh, yes, because you keep going in and out the door.
There you go.
Yeah, keep going in and out, and then finally, yeah, because that used to drive my mother crazy because we were the house where all the kids came over.
Yeah, well,
so the door was just constantly open, close, till it drove her crazy.
You knew as a black kid, if you went home for anything, even if it was for water, you might not go back outside.
Yeah.
So you got to make sure you're done by the time you go back in.
Okay.
Exactly. All right, so I think this is one y'all probably definitely heard, that you ain't got a pot to pee in or a window to throw it out of.
Yep, you got nothing. Mm-hmm. You got zero.
Now, I bet y'all never heard this one, but Katie, I wonder if you have. Don't you get in trouble following them white kids.
Haven't heard it, but I get it.
You can't do what they do.
Yeah, we heard that a lot.
Do you remember the first time your parents hit you with that one?
Not the first time, but I remember a few times they did it. Yeah. Yeah.
What are the examples?
It just means you can't get away with the same thing that white kids can get away with.
Yeah.
So if you was doing things that they felt like, you can't do that.
Yeah.
That's how they would tell you not to do it.
It's a cliche as old as time.
Now, one thing, especially after playing outside with your friends. You come in, the first thing you hear is, take them clothes off. You smell like outside.
Yes, you smell like outside.
Outside.
You smell like outside.
Abby looks confused.
No, I think that makes sense. Like, you take your outside clothes off. Put your inside clothes
off. But do you know what outside smells like?
No.
Yeah,
it's like a mix of grass? Sweat and dirt and grass. Mm-hmm. And you just, I mean, yeah, Jimmy will come in. God bless that kid because he's got his mama's sweating glands and he sweats like a mofo. And as soon as he comes, I'm like, wow, you were playing hard.
Sometimes it's just the environment. Like if you're ever like just driving around with the windows down, you get that outside smell on your clothes, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Typically, there was always a rule. Before you went into any store, any supermarket, or anything like that, your parent would always tell you, when we go into this store, don't touch nothing.
Mm-hmm. Ours would be something like, if you touch it and you break it, you pay for it.
Mm. Yeah, same thing. Yeah, that's why you don't touch it.
Yeah, in my household, I grew up where you couldn't say the word lie. You had to say telling a story or a fib.
Or a fib.
Really?
You would get in trouble for saying the word lie.
Why?
I actually don't know. It's something my grandmother always said. Don't say lies.
You don't question.
We don't know why to anything because the answer was always because I said so.
Okay.
You never know why. You would get in trouble for even knowing a song. Like I used to hear, I hope you know that schoolwork the way you know that song. That's a famous one.
Okay.
All right. You singing a song, but your homework not done like that, you got in trouble for that.
Okay.
And if you came in the house and you were being questioned about something and you hesitated, first thing you's going to hear is tell the truth, shame the devil.
Tell the truth, shame the devil.
Okay.
Which Katie and I always laugh at this because our parents used to always say, do I look like Boo Boo the Fool? And neither of us to this day know who Boo Boo is.
I've never seen a picture.
Don't know who Boo Boo is.
You can't Google it.
But we've always heard, do I look like Boo Boo the Fool?
Yeah.
Who's Boo Boo the Fool?
Who is Boo Boo?
We should get to the bottom of this right now.
He's clearly the fool.
Kristen is furiously Googling right now.
The phrase, I'm Boo Boo the Fool, originates from the late 1980s or early 1990s from the TV animation Yogi Bear. The cartoon featured Yogi the Bear and his sidekick Boo Boo. That doesn't feel
right.
See,
that's Boo Boo. Hey, Boo Boo Boo. That's a different Boo Boo. That's not the fool. But we
heard
that
Boo Boo I know.
Yes.
Okay.
You got another one?
No, the phrase Boo Boo the Fool can be traced back to early 1960s when it was used to refer to a cartoon character in a show. The African-American communities widely used the phrase to refer to an idiot. Lately, the phrase has gained popularity on social media with people using it to create memes, and then they have some of the memes.
Boo Boo the Fool.
Boo Boo the Fool.
Okay.
You could never compare yourself to what anybody else was doing because you would hear, I don't care what so-and-so mama said, I'm not so-and-so's mama.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. There's only one last phrase that I would hear, but I don't think it's just to a black household. My aunt will always do something around the house and she would fix something and she'll say, that's close enough for government work. That's it.
I never heard that one.
She always said it. I was like, okay, I don't know what that means.
And I think the one a lot of our parents got away with that I feel like they should not have was the world famous, I brought you in this world, I will take you out.
Here, Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
It's really jarring anytime somebody that you grew up with watching on television speaks about death in any way, especially when they talk about getting diagnosed with something. And I definitely felt that way reading that Full House actor Dave Coulier has been diagnosed with cancer. I used to love Full House growing up. And so seeing him, I'm like, it's very sobering seeing someone get old. I mean, because I obviously don't look at pictures of Dave Coulier once a year or anything. So when you see him after, you know, just watching old reruns of Full House, you're like, oh my gosh, like he's aged. And now at the age of 65, he has announced on the Today Show that he has stage 3 non-Hodgkin lymphoma. He said he discovered a lump in his groin and then he got a biopsy that confirmed the diagnosis.
Yes, 5 weeks ago, I was diagnosed with stage 3 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And in that time, I've had 3 surgeries. I've had chemo. I've lost a little bit of hair. I kind of look like a little baby bird now. But it has been a roller coaster ride, for sure.
And he says that it is treatable.
I told my wife, Melissa, I got the news. I was home by myself. She came home 20 minutes later. And she said, have you heard anything? And I said, yeah, I have cancer. And she said, come on, quit making jokes. And I said, no, I did. And once that settled in, it was a gut punch. But there was still another hurdle we had to find out what the staging was. Mm-hmm. And so they, you know, went into my bone marrow. Mm-hmm. And we got good news that day, once we got the results, that, you know, it hadn't spread. And so at that point, the curability rate went up to 90%+. Oh, wow. So it's very treatable.
But he did end up saying to his wife, he said, I told Melissa, I don't know why, but I'm okay with whatever the news is going to be, no matter how devastating. I can't explain where that came from. I've had an incredible life. I've had the most amazing people in my life. This has been an extraordinary journey, and I'm okay if this is the end of that journey.
Yeah, I would say the same things, except that last part. I want to extend it.
Yeah.
I'm not done with it.
Yeah.
I want more.
65 is still pretty young, too. I mean, of course, like, you've lived kind of the majority of some of the big things you want to accomplish. Like, of course, he was on a hit TV show and really made a name for himself in the industry. But at the same time, like, there's still some really big years you can have from 65 up until, yeah, you know, you start to deteriorate in, like, your 80s and 90s.
But you want to be able to enjoy the fruits of your labor. Like, you put in all that work, and now's the time to be able to, like, experience other things and fulfill enjoyment other ways.
Yeah, exactly. But he seems to have a really good attitude about it. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, 90% of it can be cured, or there's a 90% chance that he's going to be absolutely fine from this. But still, getting that stage three news, it's got to be jarring no matter what.
I think when you get to 65 years old, though, I'm not sure where it started to happen to me, though. But you do start to think about death more and your life more, and it's not as jarring as thinking about it in your 20s. Mm.
I really appreciate celebs coming out with their cancer stories, because I think it spreads awareness. Because James Vanderbeek also just announced stage 3 colorectal cancer, and he's only 47. And so I think, like, it's talking about that stuff is so personal, but when they do, I think it's a call to action for other younger people to get yourself checked out.
Yeah, you know, maybe someday the government will try to figure out how to prevent these diseases instead of treat them. That'd be cool.
That'd be awesome.
Don't hold your breath.
That would be cool.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Be great.
Sydney Sweeney is speaking out about a big story that she was involved with back in April. Remember when that older woman in the industry had kind of come out and said that she was, like, untalented or just kind of, like, spat on her publicly? Well, now in a recent interview with Vanity Fair, Sydney Sweeney is talking about why she thinks women get knocked down in Hollywood. She says it's very disheartening to hear women tear each other down, especially when women who are successful in other avenues of their industry see younger talent working really hard, hoping to achieve whatever they're dreams, whatever dreams they may have. This entire industry, all people say is women empowering women. None of it is happening. All of it is fake and a front for all the other crap that they say behind everyone's back.
I don't think all of it is fake, but I do believe there's a lot of people who are, they present one face when they are a different face behind this, like, behind the scenes.
Is it surprising and sort of deflating for you guys to hear that? As though there's so much women empowerment in Hollywood and in music now, for her to give you a peek behind the curtains and go, eh, it's not really as great as everybody's saying it is.
I am not remotely shocked.
No?
No.
Not even remotely shocked. But I think what's interesting is all of the women, and I have been so, like, when I hear about radio horror stories of people in this industry, I'm like, thank God I ended up where I ended up in the offices that I ended up in. Because every, I mean, not every, 95% of the women I've come in contact to have always been amazing mentors, have always gone out of their way, not just, like, tolerating me, but gone out of their way to make sure I'm good or help me be successful. And so I think that's going to breed a generation of women who are going to treat the younger women in 20 years that way too. So I think times are changing. We're just not there yet. All right. For more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
It's the Burt Show.
Okay. Can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad. And then the next it's no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice. And honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
It's always nice to attend a wedding and leave the wedding and say, that's something I've never seen at a wedding before. I mean, because for the most part, been to one, been to 100, right? But when there's something totally unique and different, it's a real thrill. So Danielle Bonadonna, if you were at her wedding, you definitely saw something that you've never seen at a wedding before.
So I just posted a video like an hour ago explaining how my partner wants us to hyphenate our last names. My last name is Bonadonna. His last name is Bartlebaugh. So it would be Bonadonna Bartlebaugh. That video already has 4,000 likes. People are going ape over the idea that we could be named the Bonadonna Bartlebaughs. So I talked to him about it, and we decided that we're going to let our wedding guests vote if we should hyphenate our name or not. Because the thing is, we both really love our last names. Neither of us want to give up our last name. And so, yeah, we're just going to have our guests vote on it. And we're going to play the German rhubarb song while our guests vote.
Okay. Not something I would do, but no. Unique nonetheless.
Yeah, leaving it up to your guests?
Probably not.
It, and also depends, like, does she have a bigger family than him? Because he's going to get screwed. Like, what's the balance of your guest here?
All right, Mo, so one of your dudes is out of the loop here because now all of his friends think he's disgusting.
Not only his friends, his co-workers, and his family all think that he is a disgusting human being.
So basically the entire world.
Pretty much. And he thinks that I'm exaggerating. I do not think I am. And I wonder if y'all were in this situation, would you say something or would you just let it go? So he had a get together and it was a lot of people there. I was there. He was there. Some of his coworkers was there. It was one of those get togethers where you kind of have a mixture of everyone in your life. Everybody comes together at one place.
That can be dangerous, getting all your friend groups together.
Exactly mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. Right? So throughout the night.
Hold on one second. Let's embrace that for just one second. Why is that? Like, you would think that your friends would be fairly in common, right? But the truth is, you can have so many different friend groups that you know you can't have them mingle together because they won't get along.
Do you remember your Christmas party from a couple years ago?
Oh, yeah. That was a blast, but it was also a mess.
Yes.
What a mess.
Which is why certain friend groups shouldn't mix. Yes.
Right? Because everybody just, you know, doesn't always get along with everybody. So there was one part of the night where I didn't see this, but he ended up telling me about it after the fact. I guess something spilled in his bathroom. I don't know what it was, but he compared it to chocolate. In his mind, he's like, let's just say it was chocolate, mm-hmm. right? So his home, he has a very nice home, and he has one of those bathrooms where everything in the bathroom is white. It's just white. Everything is white. White towels, white everything. So it's like one of those bathrooms when you go in and you wash your hands and you don't know what to touch. You don't know what you could use. So I just air dry, right? Like, I don't want to ruin nothing.
You're like tapping it on your pants.
Right. So at some point, you know, the drinks are flowing. Everybody's having a good time. And he didn't think much of it, but he goes into his bathroom and he sees this spill. So for whatever reason, one he cannot explain, his first thing to think of is to take one of the white towels and to clean it up. Because he didn't, when people were waiting on the bathroom, I guess he didn't want to take too long with it. It's only one guest bathroom, what have you.
And this is his bathroom.
This is his bathroom. So he goes in there, he cleans it up, and he throws it, like, I guess, back on the towel rack. And he went to go get more, like, I guess, more cleaning solution to figure out the rest of the cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
But in the middle of doing that, he got distracted. Somebody asked him for something. Something happened. It slipped his mind. He completely forgot. So that means, to me, for the rest of the night, you had a white towel with what looked like, you know what, because it's chocolate on the towel, and you left it there. So I asked him, I'm like, when you go in the bathroom, like, could you clearly see it? And he's like, yeah, I didn't really, like, try to disguise it. I just threw it up there. I didn't think anything of it. So I said, bro, that means that everybody who went into your guest bathroom now believes that you just had, like, a boo-boo towel.
That you used a white towel.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
To handle, and you just left it there.
Like, he has a turd towel?
He has a turd towel. just in the guest room. And so
for everyone who used the bathroom that night.
They didn't wipe their hands to dry their hands with that towel, did they?
No, I doubt it. No. But he feels like, well, I don't think anyone saw it because they would have said something. And I'm like, no, they would not have. No one would say anything. They would say something to all of their friends once they leave your home. And they would go to work and talk about you.
That is something you say behind the person's back, not to the face.
Exactly. So now I guess I got him in his head about it. And he's trying to figure out if he should say something. Like, should I tell my friends and my coworkers, like, hey, just in case you saw the turd towel.
Let it take the L.
That's what I told him.
I didn't know that the boo-boo towel was a real thing. I had a roommate, though, that used to do the same thing. And I don't think he specifically used it in lieu of toilet paper. I just think that when he went to go dry himself all over, he went a little bit too hard down that way and he wasn't entirely clean, and he would hang it back up and it would reek.
After the shower?
After the shower.
So he wasn't washing himself. His butt properly.
Yeah.
White person.
Okay. There we go. Yeah. Use washcloth.
At least you have an idea for a good Christmas present for him. Just get him some brown towels.
Could you imagine? Would you use a person's towel in their guest bathroom if it was brown?
Absolutely not.
I would. You would never assume anybody was ever going to poop in it.
I would now.
The Bert Show.
So my landscaper fired me.
What?
I got fired by my landscaper. So let me try to explain. I hope this doesn't sound like too sheeshy, but my business manager handles like who landscapes my house. I don't care. You know, they come in, they make everything look nice, they cut the lawn, they trim the trees, they do their thing. I barely even know who they are, right? I know they're there because they wake me up during my nap and then they take off, right? I don't really know who they are. So to make a long story short, when I just bought this new house and I am having the front of it redone, I got a recommendation from a really good friend of mine who had his landscaping and a design team come on in and they take a look at everything. Then they bring their plants in, they do their whole thing. And I trust this guy, so I hired his people. Well, my landscaper, my former regular landscaper, calls my business manager in the middle of the day and says, we showed up to the house and we saw that there were other landscapers there, like putting tiles in and putting plants in and flowers. We think we should have got a shot at that job first. And because we didn't, we quit.
You got dropped like a hot potato.
I got dropped. He said, I'm going to be professional about it. I'm going to play this out for the next month. But yeah, we're done. And I said to her, my business manager, I'm like, I didn't even know they did the same thing. I just thought there were some landscapers that came in just for maintenance.
Yeah.
And then there were others that did design and they do the maintenance also. So that's just what I assumed. But I guess I really pissed off the other landscaper because it didn't even cross my mind.
Oh, yeah. Imagine like him rolling up to the house and like, do you even know how long that you've had a contract with him?
It's been a while because he followed me from Johns Creek.
He did.
Oh, yeah. Wow. And I think he might have been at Swanee also,
I think. So you've had him for years.
Yeah. Oh, he felt like you violated.
I didn't know. They did the same thing. I just thought he cut things and he's blowing leaves.
You literally just thought they were just yard maintenance,
yes,
not actually landscaping.
So my business manager in Whole Foods, and her phone goes off. She starts getting her ass chewed, and the dudes just quit.
I feel like that's bad business. I feel like that's cutting off your nose to spite your face. Like, oh, you weren't going to give us this job, so we don't want you to pay us, period.
Yeah, man, I have a whole backyard to do that. I'm not doing now because I just don't have the budget for it because I'm spending so much trying to do other things. But had I known that and it was on the table, I certainly would have considered him. But that's going to be a pretty big job at some point. Mm. And dude quit on me.
So now you're basically saying, hey, anybody out there?
No, the guy that I'm using now knows a guy. So I'm using his guy. All right, we call it Follow-Up Thursday for a reason. We got Bert Show storylines that we just haven't finished for you guys. So you remind us, and on Thursdays, we give you some closure.
So Maureen was nervous about talking to her husband about their future family. As a new mom, she faced some unexpected challenges and mother motherhood had a pretty significant impact on her. So because of this, she decided that she didn't want to have any more children. She and her husband had originally planned to have a big family, and she was afraid he wouldn't take the news well. Instead of speaking with him directly, she went to her mom first, hoping for comfort and understanding. However, her mom surprised her by saying that as a wife, it was her duty to give her husband more children. So this only added to her pressure. So now, did Maureen ever take our advice and have a conversation with her husband?
Hey, Bert Show. Yes. Months later, I finally did it. The conversation I had with my mom left me questioning so much that I was more afraid than before of having the conversation with my husband. But finally, I put on my big girl panties and I sat down with my husband to have a difficult conversation I had been avoiding. I poured out all of the feelings I had bottled up since the birth of our child. I told him that because of these thoughts, I was reconsidering having the big family we dreamed of. It was hard to get the words out, but once I did, I could see the relief on his face. He didn't react the way I thought he might. I was prepared for anger or frustration, but instead, he listened, really listened. He didn't try to convince me otherwise, and that meant more to me than I can say. It turns out he had secretly been feeling some of the same things I was. Uncertainty, a bit of fear about the future, and even some more worry about how another child would impact our lives.
Oh, it's like that Pina Colada song.
When they show up to meet each other, thinking they're going to cheat on each other.
Yeah, and you know how I hate that song. It's BS.
We ended up talking for hours, really diving into what having more children would mean for us both emotionally, financially, and mentally.
Holy cow, Abby, once again. Communication.
Adult conversation. Solving problems. Like it should.
Should we do in honor of Wicked?
Nope. Oh. No. 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 A musical, a virtual musical? No.
Yes.
No,
to the tune of Pina Colada. Do you like having adult conversations?
Did you see what happened to that Joker movie?
Yeah. But that's because people didn't know what they were getting into.
Yeah.
Okay, just hear me out.
Yeah.
Just pause on the email for a second. Uh-huh. Hear me out.
You got to sing it.
Hear me out, Bert. Next weekend is the Wicked movie. Should we do a Wicked musical? Bert Show.
I think based on that pitch, absolutely not. And lack of pitch.
No.
Based on that pitch and lack of pitch, no.
You're no fun.
I can continue.
You can continue, okay. But you have to sing it.
No, thank you.
By the end.
By the end of the night, we didn't have a perfect solution, but we were on the same page.
A minor.
You idiot.
What?
Oh, my God.
An idiot.
Oh, my God.
Well, that is a pitch.
I wasn't ready. I don't even want to finish
that. C flat.
Don't, actually. Kristen, just, you know, to continue your pitch here, and because Abby was so into it and Cassie was into it also, let's see, we got 3-4 lines left. Why don't you guys take a line each of the last paragraph and sing it just to see what it might sound like if we do a whole show based on Wicked and musicals.
Okay, Cassie, you can actually sing. Abby, I actually think you can sing too. I cannot, so I'll just do the last line. Okay. By the end of the night, we didn't have a perfect solution, but we were on the same page.
No one else's expectations would dictate our decision.
It's been a huge weight off my shoulders to not have to hide my true feelings anymore.
All together.
And honestly, I think it's made our relationship stronger.
I think you guys just answered your own question. If we are going to have a musical.
It's an absolute yes.
If we are going to have a musical, it's going to be a solo, and it's only going to be Cassie.
Solo, we can't hear it.
The Bert Show.